Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Selling Greenville, your favorite real estate podcast here in Greenville, South Carolina. I'm your host, as always, Stan McCune, realtor right here in Greenville, South Carolina, and you can find all of my contact information in the show notes if you need to reach out to me for any of your real estate needs here in Greenville or outside of Greenville. Of course, we work all over the place. Today, I had an hour drive doing showings all the way down in Belton, which is in Anderson County, and then I went all the way up to Roebuck, which is in Spartanburg County, and cross through Greenville County along the way. So sometimes that's what happens. We have to be experts in all of these local counties because Greenville County, at least for me, just is not a big enough county alone in order for me to solely concentrate my work in Greenville County. So let me know. My contact information is there. And please, if you're watching this on YouTube, take 1 second to hit the thumbs up, the little like button, hit the little bell to subscribe if you haven't already done that to make sure you don't miss future episodes. And if you're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, if you can leave a 5-star rating, a little review, I would greatly appreciate those things as well. Today is the Thanksgiving episode. I always do a gratefulness episode every year. And I really went back and forth on this one, right? Because little backstory about this podcast. I hate self-promotion, okay? And so I really struggled with that because every realtor has to do self-promotion on some level, right? That's what marketing inherently is. If you're selling a product, you have to promote the product, right? And as a realtor, I'm selling a product. I'm selling a home buying or a home selling service. I have to promote it, but I am the service, right? Me and what I do and how I operate is a service. So it's inherently self-promoting. And I really don't like that. I feel very uncomfortable with self-promotion. And so one of the main reasons I started this podcast was that it was a way for me to kind of promote myself without promoting myself, right? I can just show you guys my personality. I can show you how I think. I can talk through issues. And you can decide for yourself whether that's the sort of realtor that you want to work with, whether that's the sort of person that you want to discuss real estate with, whether that's the sort of person that you want to be helped with. And maybe you decide not to. Maybe you just find the content useful, but you don't ever use a realtor. Whatever the case may be, this has become like the core part of how I self-promote is simply by providing information to people. And it's gotten me a lot of clients over the years. And for that, I am supremely grateful. And every year I do an episode where I talk about what I'm grateful for around Thanksgiving. And this year is going to be, I don't like it because it's going to feel at the beginning like I'm promoting myself, but I'm really going to try to deflect away from that and to promote the people that helped me to get to where I am. But in order to do that, I need to tell you guys something. So a lot of you already know this, so it's not going to be a huge shock. But for those that don't, I won a few weeks ago the Greater Greenville Association of Realtors Realtor of the Year for 2025. I won this award over roughly 3,700 other realtors in the Greenville Association of Realtors. And I was shocked. I was really, really surprised because, you know, 3,700 realtors, right? There's a lot of other really good agents in this market that have not won Realtor of the Year. Agents with better production than me, agents with bigger teams than me, agents with cooler listings. No offense to those who have listed homes with me. I don't mean it that way. But just all sorts of there's a lot of things that you can look at, and the Realtor Association has their own set of criteria that they are specifically looking at. But at the end of the day, I won that award. But the entire time I was thinking about all of the other people that could have won it, and all of the people that helped me to get to this point where I could win something like that. And so I'm going to show you guys, if you're looking on YouTube, what my award looks like. There you can see my name there at the bottom. I got referenced in the Post and Courier, which is a local newspaper as well. The Berkshire Hathaway Global Real Estate Network email referenced it. It's been kind of overwhelming in a lot of ways. Here's also a little, if you're watching on YouTube again, a little pin that I won. I was assured by Chris Bailey, CEO of the Greater Greenville Association of Realtors, that those are real diamonds on there, right? And of course, I'm not going to question that at all. All right, so now that I've gotten that out of the way, I'm going to basically expand on, and I'm not going to take too much time with this. I try not to make this a super long episode. Also, I've got stuff to do, quite frankly. I need to get a haircut. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see that. And I'm planning to do that right after this. But when I accepted the award, I gave an acceptance speech, which was basically just me thanking the core people that helped me to get to this point. And I just want to expand for those that weren't there, and even for those that were. None of this is scripted. Honestly, I've not really thought about it a whole lot. I hadn't thought about it when I went up there and gave my acceptance speech either. So I'm just going to kind of let this be natural, and whatever comes to mind. And so I basically thanked several people who helped me to get to this point. And it starts with, of course, my wife, Michelle. She has been there through the roller coaster, and it has been a roller coaster in real estate before real estate. It's all been a roller coaster. I owned at one point a frozen yogurt shop while I was a realtor. I'm not good at managing frozen yogurt shops, it turns out. We've been a parts of down markets, up markets, good times, great times. We've laughed, we've cried, all of the cliches, right? All of the cliches. But real estate is different, has a different, it's for spouses, and I can't speak from experience. I can always, because my wife is not a realtor. But I can imagine that for spouses, it can be kind of crazy, right? Because there can be times where you don't make very much money for long stretches of time. And then you can make a ton of money in a very short stretch of time. And then it's like, well, what's happening? Now it's helpful for me. I manage our finances, so I can make it all work, right? I can kind of smooth out all of these weird little rough edges. But through all of that, Michelle has had my back the entire way. I know that some people struggle with their spouses in this industry with just like making sure that the finances work and the schedule works and whatnot. She has always been very supportive of all of that and has always tried to relieve me of whatever she could in order that I can focus on the business to the extent that I need to. And you know, there have been times like in 21 and 22, crazy, crazy years, when the business was so crazy. I mean, there would be times where I'd have family plans that I would have to cancel last minute. There are times when it's like we're in the airport trying to board a plane and I'm like negotiating a contract, or like on the side of the pool with the family, you know, times that we're doing a road trip and I have to be like, I like to be the one driving on a road trip. That's just my personality. And I'll have to be like, hey, babe, I my phone is blowing up. Can you drive? I've got to work. And that happens quite frequently in road trip situations. Because if you're a realtor, you know, the moment you go on vacation, your phone starts blowing up. As a matter of fact, as we're entering Thanksgiving, that's happening yet again. Which is right on time. So all of that to say, she has played obviously a huge role, in me winning this award. I want to reference my and thank my mom as well. My mom obviously played a huge role in my upbringing. She homeschooled me, up until seventh grade, for those that don't know. She then worked at the Christian school. So I saw her pretty much all the time. She worked at the Christian school that I ultimately graduated from, that I went to from seventh grade until graduation. And she has been in my corner as well from day one. She taught me so much of what I know. You know, if you have, obviously, as I've already said, she homeschooled me during like the most formative years of my life, right? So if I have benefited you in any way with my knowledge or my real estate ability or whatever, she has to take some credit for that. Now, she's going to listen to this, and I'm sure she's going to have some kind of a funny comment about that. But that is the truth. Like, that's not an exaggeration. And, you know, at the end of the day, how you're raised makes such a huge difference in how you end up later in life, right? How you end up, how stable you are as an adult, how capable you are as an adult, what your work ethic is, all of that kind of stuff. And I credit my mom with a lot of that. Additionally, Bob Morgan. If you know, the real estate team I'm on is called the Morgan Group. Bob Morgan is the founder of the team. We're just a small little team. And Bob took a shot on me, so to speak, before anyone else did. I met with him as I was in the process of becoming a realtor, and I had a connection to him through the person who was my realtor, who I really liked and had become friends with. And he was just like, hey, you might be, you know, if you're going to get into real estate, you should strongly consider joining the team. I'll set up, you know, a meet and greet kind of thing. And if you know Bob, Bob's not a big fan of taking inexperienced realtors onto his team. But he saw something in me. I'm not sure what that was. We joked about it recently. And honestly, I probably just need to have a conversation with him about that. But he took that shot on me. And I said in my acceptance speech, something that a lot of people don't probably know about me is that a lot of what I learned from this business as a realtor, a lot of who I am as a realtor comes from the first few years of my career. I would be at the Seed and Joiner offices, which at that time our office was on North Pleasantburg, right where now where the office of Guest and Brady, the attorney, is. And Bob and I had an office in the basement of that building, a nice moldy, mildewy basement office. A lot of good memories for me down there. But we would be there pretty much every night. At least it seemed, in hindsight, it seems that way. Pretty much every night until 7 or 8 p.m. And I didn't have a whole lot going on those first few years, right? My business was slow, as it is for a lot of realtors when they first start. Bob had a lot going on. And so I would just hear him working the phones, talking to other realtors, talking to his clients, talking, negotiating, talking through contracts, talking through issues, talking to appraisers, just conversation after conversation after conversation. And I learned a tremendous amount of what I know in this business from just hearing Bob talk. And there is something to that, right? Something to, you know, in real estate, we don't have apprenticeships like some other industries do. So I was in a really weird spot because I became licensed while I was in my final year working a salary job. So, and I started getting clients right away. So I really jumped into the deep end without any like real formal training. And if you know anything about real estate school, which yeah, you got to go to real estate school in order to become a realtor. But at least at that time, real estate school is mostly focused on the code of ethics, mostly focused on, you know, really high level sorts of stuff. Not how do you run a business, not how do you talk to appraisers, not how do you deal with other realtors and how do you negotiate? None of that. We weren't talking about any of that in real estate school. Well, I was able to hear it from Bob, who had, you know, at that time over probably close to 20 years of experience. Now he's north of that, obviously. And that was incredible. Like, that was not how I planned to learn how to do real estate, but that was how I learned how to do real estate, was just by listening to him for several years. And just learning from him, learning from how he did it. And sometimes he would just say, and still to this day, he does this, because he's still a lot more experienced than me, right? And it still sometimes he'll say something that's just like, you know, I hadn't really thought about it that way. And it's just, it'll like completely change my mindset on like, you know, I've been thinking about this way, but the way Bob just framed it, I like that framing a lot more. Like that's the correct mindset. And so I wouldn't have this for sure if not for all of those evenings just down there in the basement with Bob. Matthew Thrift, my broker in charge at my office for the better part of the past 5 years. He's another person that I want to shout out to. So if you don't understand the structure, every real estate office, every brokerage has to have a broker in charge. In some cases, the entire company is just one person in which they are the broker in charge and the owner. In the case of C. Dan Joyner, we've got, what, like 400 agents across multiple different offices. The office that I'm in, that Matthew and Lauren Hendrickson are the brokers in charge over, we have, I think, several hundred agents just in our office. And listen, I talk to a lot of realtors that don't ever hear from their broker in charge, don't have a clear way to get a hold of them. I had to help one agent from another company recently write up a contract because they couldn't get a hold of their broker to ask them a question. And they were lost. Like they were completely dependent on their broker for them to be able to write a contract. I had to help them with it, which is honestly malpractice from their standpoint to have to go to a competing realtor for something like that. Because I was representing my party, right? So obviously I was trying to help my clients out, not the other realtor. But with Matthew, you know, I remember I've texted him a few times late at night. Something pops up. You never know what's going to happen in this business. And I remember one time I was just like, "Hey, I'm really sorry for texting you late at night. You know, feel free to respond tomorrow." And he just texted right back something like, "Until my head hits the pillow, I'm available." Like something to that effect. And that is who Matthew is. And he has a very sharp mind for contracts. For just understanding the industry as a whole, for being a step ahead on, you know, as our industry has been under attack with a lot of lawsuits, for making sure that our company is taking proactive steps to make sure that we are not in a position of liability if lawsuits start coming down on smaller brokerages, right? They've already started to come down on these mega brokerages. They haven't as much started to come down on local brokerages, but that could be next, right? And so he's been ahead of that. And that's something that a lot of people aren't thinking about right now. Like when they choose what brokerage they go with, a lot of them are just like, who's going to give me the highest percent of my commission, right? Because obviously I split a portion of my commission with C. Dan Joyner. And for a lot of realtors, that's the beginning and the end of their search is, well, what's my commission split going to be? But if you end up becoming named in a lawsuit because your brokerage was named in a lawsuit, that's not great. I'd rather potentially pay a little bit more, and a lot of times it's a misnomer. Oftentimes, these brokerages that are giving you a better commission split are robbing Peter to pay Paul. They're getting their money in another way. Not all the case, not all the time, but a lot of times that's the case. But at the end of the day, there's so much more to consider than just that. And Matthew has been great about that the entire time that I've known him, that he has been the broker in charge at my office at C. Dan Joyner. So I'm extremely grateful to him and for his guidance of our office. But the highlight for me, the two people that I really wanted to highlight and that I did in my acceptance speech are two people who are no longer with us today. And I've talked about these two people in other episodes before. And the first is my first broker in charge, which was Fritzy Barber. Fritzy was had a similar impact on me that Bob did from the standpoint of anytime she spoke, there was just wisdom. Wisdom and knowledge just came out. And she was an expert on so many different things. Like it's really hard. It's hard in real estate to become an expert on one thing. She was an expert on everything, in my opinion, from my experience. And we used to have weekly meetings. And those weekly meetings, our company no longer, we do more of a bi-weekly meeting structure now. But when we were doing those weekly meetings, I would go to them and I would be like, I know I'm going to get something out of this meeting. I know that Fritzy, and she was always the one that ran the meetings. And it was like, I know that she is going to say something in this meeting that's going to change my perspective on something, that's going to prepare me for something, that's going to help me in my business in some way. And week after week after week, she did that. And honestly, it didn't even seem like she was even like prepared in those meetings, not because she seemed unprepared. It just seemed like she was just going off the top of her head, just tons and tons of knowledge and wisdom. And it was incredible. She was huge for our industry. She was one of a very, very important person in the state of South Carolina for the real estate industry in our state. I'm not going to get into all of that, because you can certainly look that up if you want. You can just search for her name. You'll see tons of stuff about Fritzy online. But unfortunately, she's no longer with us today because she did pass away in I believe it was 2020 of cancer. And incredibly heartbreaking for the entire company, for my office. But she left a legacy. And again, this award that I've won, she has something to do with that. A lot to do with it, quite frankly. And I wasn't on the phone with Fritzy very often. I actually only went to her office one time. And it was towards the end. I think it was right before her cancer diagnosis. That I had to go. It was definitely before COVID. So yeah, it most likely would have been before her cancer diagnosis. And I only went to her office one time. I got lost on the way because that old CDAN Journal office was a labyrinth once you got, you know, into some of those back offices. And that's just a memory that is even just sitting there with her, because she was such a larger than life sort of personality. And she could be intimidating. Like if you weren't ready for how she was going to approach it, absolutely, you would be intimidated by it. But that was exactly what we needed as a company. That was what the Association of Realtors needed when she was heavily involved with the Realtor Association. She brought a fight to our industry. And honestly, we really could have used that the past few years, because there's not been as much fight in the real estate world in more recent years, in my opinion, that there should have been. We've kind of let things come to us. And she would not have been in favor of that. She would have absolutely been like, no, we need to stand up for what's right in our industry, for what's right for our clients, for our agents, and all of that. And yeah, like I said, I didn't prepare any notes, and now I'm just kind of rambling, but I admire her so much. And I'm so grateful that I got to have, you know, roughly four and a half years under her as my broker in charge. And of course, last but certainly not least, is my father. My father also died of cancer just a few years ago. And for sure, for me, this award is dedicated to him as much as to anyone. I did a whole episode on my father after he passed. I don't remember what episode number it was, but it would have been a couple of years ago. So if you want to go back to 2023 and look that up, feel free to. I had some people tell me that that it was their favorite episode that I had ever recorded. So it might be beneficial still. I don't know. But I just want to say that a lot of who I am is absolutely directly influenced by my father. My personality, very, very similar in a lot of ways to his personality. He was analytical. I think I'm more analytical than him, but I definitely get that analytical side of my brain from him. He was extremely focused, and always busy, right? He always had something going on. He worked like three jobs at one point, and not because he was like one of these people that, you know, couldn't stick with a job. He just kept having opportunities come his way, right? People kept seeing, hey, you have a gift that can be shared with other people. Can you do that? Can you do that in this situation? You know, so for those that don't know, he was a Baptist pastor in New Jersey, in a small church in New Jersey. And through that, he got the opportunity to be a minor league baseball chaplain. He got the opportunity to be a nursing home chaplain, a Protestant chaplain in a Catholic hospital, which was in New Jersey. That was a line that didn't get crossed back then. Now, maybe it's a little bit more, you know, egalitarian now up there, that might be more common, but he was, if I remember correctly, the first Protestant chaplain on staff ever at the Catholic hospital at St. Clair's Hospital in Dover, which was actually the hospital that I was born in New Jersey way back when, AKA Dover General. Hopefully I'm getting all those names correct. We're going way back here. I wish obviously that my dad, as well as Fritzy, were around to be able to participate in celebrating this award, because they both had such an impact on me. I think in particular for my dad, a lot of it comes back to the work ethic, because every day I saw that work ethic from him. I also saw that he knew when to stop, right? There, you can't just work yourself into the ground. And we would, you know, he would watch sports. We would go to sporting events. We would take vacations. We would do things, and he would take a break from the work to make sure that he would focus on these things that are what people now like to call, the nice buzzword is self-care. He knew to take advantage of those opportunities, to find those opportunities for self-care, even though he loved his work. He didn't have an inherent need to step away from work because he hated work. He actually really loved work. And it's kind of similar for me. I really love what I do in real estate. And I'm very, very, I'm so grateful to be in a business that I can genuinely enjoy what I do every single day. But at the end of the day, it is work, and it does drain the battery. And you have to find things to recharge that battery. And so I saw from firsthand experience what it looks like, how my dad was able to keep going while the battery was being drained, and then the things that he would do to make sure that he recharged that battery. And those lessons, those are really important lessons, right? My dad didn't know anything about real estate. He would frequently tell me how puzzled he was that I had figured out real estate, right? That I had figured out a way to be successful. He was also an avid listener of the show. He would frequently send me messages. Some of the last messages I have from him are, excuse me. Some of my last messages from him are him, you know, telling me his thoughts about the show. So yeah. He would frequently, you know, of course he was, you know, if you see any of the dad memes that are out there about how, you know, dads get very short text message responses, he would do that. He would just say, you know, something like, "Interesting episode this week." I'm like, "Good interesting or bad interesting? Like, did you disagree?" You know, just things like that. And it was always funny. I got a good chuckle out of it. Sometimes it would turn into a deeper conversation. Sometimes not. Oftentimes not. Oftentimes it would just be like, "Interesting episode." But I appreciated that. He let me know that he was listening to the show. Back then I didn't have it on YouTube, so he couldn't watch it, but he was always listening, and he made sure that I knew that. When I was at college, I went to Bob Jones, and Bob Jones back then was not the easiest school to go to, because we were kind of confined to the campus. It's really hard to get off campus. I didn't have a car. Even if I did, you weren't allowed to drive it until like your junior year. You could park it on campus, but you couldn't move it. You couldn't go, if you're a man, you couldn't go off campus with a woman. And quite frankly, if you know where Bob Jones is, it's right on Wade Hampton and Pleasantburg. Like, you can't really walk anywhere. You can, but it's like dangerous. There was one time me and my friend Bobby, we walked to Sonic. It took like 45 minutes one way to walk to Sonic. And it was like taking your own life into your hands. Sonic isn't even there anymore. They closed down a year ago. My dad would, and there were no TVs or anything. We couldn't watch TV. And there was no streaming. You know, this is early 2000s. You couldn't stream a whole lot. And my dad would send me, every few weeks, he'd send me like $10 cash and newspaper clippings from the sports section of the local newspapers, so that I could kind of like feel connected to home. And that $10, I could make that $10 stretch out. Like, I could make $10 stretch out for weeks. You know, and of course at Bob Jones, they, you know, all the food and whatnot, you could eat there. People joke that they gained a freshman 15 because you could eat whatever you wanted over there. Right. Wasn't necessarily good food, but there was a lot of it. But getting those newspaper clippings, being able to read about, you know, how the sports teams were doing up there. And, you know, again, this stuff wasn't online at that time. Or at least not easily accessible online. And so that was just something that tethered me back to home and just gave me something to look forward to. You know, when I checked the mail, gave me something to think about that wasn't schoolwork. And just a lot of good memories and you know, a lot that I'm grateful for. So, I appreciate you guys listening or watching. Sorry, I'm a little bit emotional. Let me grab some of the drink here. Sometimes a little water goes a long way. But I appreciate you guys. You guys are the final ones that I want to thank, in all of this, because you guys play a role in this as well. All of my clients. I couldn't win Realtor of the Year if I never had clients as a realtor. And this podcast in some way contributes to that, but you as listeners contribute heavily to that. Even if you've never used me as your realtor, I consider you a part of how I'm able to win an award like this. So I'm immensely grateful to all of you. Thank you guys so much for listening and for watching. And that's it. I hope you guys, you're probably already had Thanksgiving by the time you're listening or watching to this. So I hope you guys had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Hopefully the party is continuing whenever you're watching or listening to it. And now here we go. We're entering into the true holiday season here in December. So it's going to get crazy. But it should be fun. So thank you guys so much for watching and listening. Please like, rate, review, subscribe, all of those good things. If you need a realtor, well, realtor of the year right here. That'll be the last time I ever reference that on the show. Well, I shouldn't say that. I'm not going to say never, but I don't plan to do another self-promo episode like that. But I did feel like I needed to expand on what I said during my acceptance speech, and hopefully you guys understand that. So thank you so much. If you need a realtor, my contact information is in the show notes. We will talk to you guys again next time.